You've meditated in this blackened room for what feels like an eternity. Cloaked in the darkness, you've pushed away the outside world. The rage, the sadness, bleeds out of you as you seek the quiet place Koderic helped you find. Except you are alone after he took the orb and insisted he must commune with the essence inside. He asked you only to wait, taking with him the one source of light as he disappeared down a well-hidden staircase. The quiet is broken only by the occasional gust of wind creeping in from the desert. It swirls around you, the sand blustering against your back. Fatigue begins to set in. The wounds you've endured, the torture and anguish inflicted on you, while healing slowly, are beginning to take a toll. Your head dips forward as you fight sleep. It is then you hear it. The low rumble of engines in the distance of the desert. They grow closer, moving with purpose across the dunes. Suddenly the weariness fades as a sense of danger overwhelms you.
So you're in the whatever it is, a monument, or it's a small little temple, you would assume, of some kind. It looks like something you would find in the bigger cities where religious people would gather, but something that has been long forgotten to time. It's still dark, absolutely dark in here right now. As I said, the one source of light Koderic took with him, and you've been sitting in the darkness waiting for him for how, you don't even know how long.
So I'm going to try to go to the entrance of the, and but not go right out. I just want to see if I can see.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm just going to see if I can use my perception.
Okay,
basic so
you...
perception check.
It is dark in here, but as you start to head back toward the entrance, the light of the desert. Now remember, you came here in the evening and all the stars disappeared from the sky. Mm-hmm. As you start to walk closer to this entrance where that archway of all the faces carved into the stonework above you, you see that it's early morning dawn. The sun is just coming up over the dunes and it's casting this golden light across the land. And it's a bit hazy as the light hits your eyes. And it's still fairly early. You still have like the dark ridge of the sky, but the sun is cutting up through it and casting the golden light. But you can go ahead and make a perception roll.
I got 4 successes.
You take a quick scan, and as your eyes adjust to the sun. And remember how I said it... it kind of slopes. You were walking down a slope towards this. It was in a small ravine that this temple is in. So you peek up, and at the very top, where your speeder is parked, you see 3 swoops that have come to park, and 3 people dressed in like desert garb with goggles on. And you recognize they're wearing the same kind of outfits as the raiders that had attacked you in the desert and caught you by surprise. Except this time you've spotted them. And they're walking down the slope. And you can see stairs that jut out every so often from the sand that is clearly blown over it with time. But they're stepping down these stairs slowly. And they have their blasters out at their side. They got like blaster pistols in their hand. And they're looking around cautiously. Did you want to try to hide around the corner, or do you want to stay where you are?
I'm going to use my force power.
Okay.
I'm going to try to contact Koderic and say, "Raiders, they know they've spotted us.
Okay.
No time to get away.
Okay.
Before being spotted."
So you've never initiated something like that before. He's always initiated it and spoken to you and communicated without you. You've never actually figured out how to do that. You can seek to find him with your seek force power.
Yes.
So that is just a dice roll.
Okay.
That is just a force dice
Straight
roll.
Straight up force dice roll. And 2 white, unfortunately.
So you try to reach out.
Can I take a strain?
No. You can't.
Okay.
You can only use dark-sided dice.
Okay.
Or circles. So you try to reach out with them, but you're unable to call the force or even enter that space where you go into this meditative state where the world bleeds out from your vision and you can enter into this almost trance where you can reach out. You can't. There's too much on your mind. In fact, these are the raiders that overcame you. In the desert, you're anxious and you try to reach out, but you can't. So you're still standing at the doorway. And they're starting to get a little bit closer now. They're at a medium range now.
So I want to... I don't want to alert them I'm in there. They probably know so, or that I've seen them. But I... Okay, I'm going to try... Can I... I'm going to run closer to the top of the stairwell to yell down to him.
Okay.
And I yell, Derek! Co-Derek! Raiders! They've spotted our swoops. They know we're here.
Okay, so you run in, and you go past that stone dais where you found the orb, and you go past it to the back end of the room. That's where the staircase went down. Mm-hmm. And you call down. You're not even sure how deep that goes. The staircase just goes down into darkness. And as you get to the back and start calling out, these red lights that are built into the stonework slowly start to light up and cast this red, shadowy... luminescence into the central room. Remember, it's at a bit. It's a domed room.
Yeah.
And it starts to get lit with this really strange, heavy red light. And Co-Derek doesn't answer. So that entrance is about 40 feet. You ran 40 feet across this marble stone floor, past the stone dais to the stairwell. The lights came on when you said that. You turn to look, and the three of them are starting to walk. You can see them now. Their feet coming down, and they're moving towards the entrance. With your perception check, you hear them. They're talking a little bit amongst themselves, and you can hear what they're saying. One of them has a phone out, and he's holding it up. Yeah, it's definitely coming from in here. How do we know it's not a trap? One of them responds. So we're in the middle of the desert. Who the hell would be out here? All right, let's go.
I am, well, if he can't hear my voice, he'll hear the blaster. the sound of my blaster. So, I'm just gonna... we're trapped. So I have no choice but to pick them off when they come in the doorway. Is there any cover?
Nope.
No cover. All right, so I'm going to try to crouch in whatever corner I can.
Okay.
That looks as dark, the darkest corner. And
so you can cover, you get a little bit of cover behind that stone dais.
Okay.
The stone dais is about chest height.
Okay.
And the claws reach up, and it's wide enough that you're a pretty small character.
Okay.
So you can crouch behind there and hide if you want, and it will be cover, but you know that blaster shots will probably rip that up pretty quickly.
Okay. Well... I'm going to bunker down.
Okay, are you trying to hide?
No, because as soon as they come in and see me...
You can hide behind the stone dais. It's cover, but you can also hide behind it.
I'm actually thinking that I might melee attack them when they come through the door and then hold the rest off from the doorway so they don't get close. But it offers actually less cover.
The doorway to the stairwell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's about 20 feet between the stone dais and the stairwell where Co-Derek went down, and there's about 40 feet between the stone dais and the front entrance.
No, I'm gonna pigeonhole them and hit them in the doorway. Okay.
So this is the main entrance here.
And I'm here right now?
And you're at the stairwell here. And they're coming. They're standing now. They're coming in through the front entrance here. So
there's no way I can make it to this front entrance by the time they get in.
No, they're already pretty much there.
I was thinking if I ran up to the front entrance, I could hide beside the door and do a stealth attack.
No, you use your turn to basically go and try
yell
to
yell at him. Okay. So I'm going to hide behind the dais. I'm actually going to shoot. I would like to hit them off when they're stuck behind. You know, they're in the... They're pigeonholed into the hallway.
So they would have cover around the corner.
That's true. Okay. So now I'll wait till they enter.
So you're going to hide?
Yeah, I'm going to hide.
All right. So make a stealth check.
Three advantages.
Okay.
And that's it.
So they start to walk in, and as soon as they get to about 10 feet into the room. You can see one of them is looking around, and he's got his pistol, two on either side, and you can see the guy in the middle pulls his mask down, and it's the guy, the leader, it's Afrak. You recognize him, you remember that's what they called him when you were captured and you were hanging there. It's him with two guys. One of the guys on the left, they're all Twi'lek, takes a look around, he's like, what's with the weird red light in here? What is this place? And Afrak's like, doesn't matter. This is where the distress signal came from. This is where we're going. Search the room out. See what you can find. And they start to go left and right around the outside. And he stays in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you start to run forward and try to go duck in under that dais. And he calls out, there's someone here! And they both stop on either side of him. And he pulls his pistol up and starts aiming at the dais. You're still crouched in behind it, but they've seen you. Come out with your hands up.
I wanted to go for him so I could hold him hostage because I'm surrounded. May he see me. I'm in his sight. So
he signals both the guys on either side, and they start to circle around. They're going to try to flank you on both sides.
Oh, they haven't flanked me yet?
No, they're still. You can see them to your... They're about 20 feet to your left and 20 feet to your right, and he's about 30 feet straight ahead of you.
30 feet straight ahead. Okay.
Yeah, so they're at... I guess they're close range.
So I'm going to stand up because I want to grab him, but he's too far away. Like I can't just grab him, right?
No, you'd have to run up to him.
Yeah, and then there's somebody on either side. So yeah. There's no way I can take them out. If I shoot one person on one side, he can shoot me. You know what I mean? So I'm always always two people. So I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, unarmed. I'm here on religious study mission.
He sees you stand up. Gotta be kidding me. You again?
Yes. And you know, my uncle has released me to go about my studies, to learn more about our past.
I don't really care what you're doing here. Who else is here? Is it just you?
Oh, yes. It's just me and my teacher. But he's busy doing...
Oh, him too. You're both here. Are you kidding me?
Well, this is our job. We're Twi'lek anthropologists, and this is part of our schooling. I need to get my dissertation.
Holds up his hand. What is this place?
Oh, this goes back into our lore. It's very interesting, really. It is about our, this is a past tribe, and we're really trying to discover the background of it so we can teach all Twi'leks our home and our background. This is basically a place I think it has to do with our teachings of dental health and our past...
Sir, she's armed. She has a pistol at her side. I can see it. He's like, drop your weapon. Throw it on the ground.
Oh, this is just in case.
Drop it.
Okay, I understand. So I do. I drop my weapon.
He doesn't care why you're here. He clearly doesn't. He now that he saw that you were armed and you said you weren't, he's a little disinterested.
Oh, this is just in case of raiders. They don't understand that we're just students.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. We're raiders.
But you're sophisticated raiders.
He laughs. Yeah, right. I know this is going to seem like a case of deja vu, but we're going to take you with us again because we got quite a lot of money for you last time, and I'm sure he'd be willing to pay it all over again.
Oh, this is...
And whatever artifacts you may have found, we'll be taking those as well. And then he motions to both of them, take her out.
And then I'm going to...
Stun her, please. I don't want my prize ruined.
I'm going to use influence, my influence basic power right now. And I got one black.
So what do you want to do with
it? I'm going to give him a sense that this is a bad idea. I don't think my uncle wants to be bothered.
So you're changing his emotional state. You can't change his mind.
No.
Using a dark dice.
Yes.
So you're reasoning. What emotion are you making him feel right now?
Fear. My uncle would be very displeased that you'd be bothering him again. He would be most displeased to come see that you have inconvenienced me again. I don't think he'd be happy to pay another price, and it could put you in a bad way with him.
So he's holds up his hand again, and the two guys lower their pistols. Well, I'm not walking away from this empty-handed. I've come all the way out here. So how about this, then? You can stay here with your teacher and research whatever it is you have here. We'll be taking your transportation. All right, let's go, boys.
I don't have a choice. I can't take them on, like, just me, so...
Coderic still hasn't showed up yet.
No. Can I try to, like, contact him one more time?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to try to mentally contact him one more time. Too white.
Can't do it. You're panicking. You're starting to panic right now. You can't focus. You've got two guys on either side of you, and they're going to steal your mode of transportation. You know that if they take that, you're dead.
Oh, okay.
You're probably 250, 300 kilometers away from any center. Okay. And you're in the middle of the desert.
Okay, I understand. This one actually has a key, so I have to give it to you. So I walk over to the guy.
Okay, make a deceit check.
Because she sucks at lying.
No, he doesn't have reason to believe you, really.
Two disadvantages and two successes.
You say, I've got the keys. He motions one of his guys over, the guy on your left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And the guy, he's still got his pistol out.
Yeah.
You go to fake hand him the keys, and he reaches for them. As you do that, the disadvantage is that he senses something is up. You convince him to do it, but he grabs your arm.
Which arm?
Your left arm.
Okay.
That's it. That's the disadvantage. He's got a hold of you right now.
Okay, so as an attack...
What you're about to do happens the exact same time as he says, there's no key.
As an attack, I need to take one action to draw my weapon?
That'd be your maneuver.
So, one, would it be melee to grab him and go behind him?
Yep, that would be a brawl check.
A brawl check? I'm going to attempt to do that.
Okay.
At the same time as drawing my lightsaber.
Yep, that's fine. Your brawl would be your action and your maneuver would be to draw your lightsaber, yeah.
Okay, so I have one, but this is a...
That's a despair.
Despair, yeah.
All right.
So can I draw my weapon still as my second action?
You have a despair. I'll tell you.
Okay.
So you grab him around the throat. He grabs your arm. You spin around and pull him straight up tight against you. And you go to grab your lightsaber from inside your coat and you pull it out. But you throw it. By accident, like it slips out of your hand. You're just doing it so quickly, and it floats, it kind of soars through the air and hits the ground and spins along the ground, and it goes out again. And it lands right next to the other guy.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
That's what happens. That's your surprise action.
Okay.
Now it's initiative.
Okay.
You're going to be rolling cool. They're going to be rolling cool.
Okay. I got two advantages and three successes.
All right, so you go first.
Okay. So that didn't go so well. So I'm going to grab his pistol from him. Okay. Attempt to another brawn check.
This would be a brawl check.
Brawl check, yep. I mean.
So you'll have the same dice pool.
Okay, this time. Yeah, two successes, one disadvantage.
You've got your arm around him, and you grab him by the wrist, twist it until you hear a crack. It doesn't do any damage, but you just hear like a strained crack in his wrist, and he loosens his hand on it. You pull the pistol, and it is just a regular blaster pistol, okay. Which I don't know if you have on your sheet already or not.
Blaster. No, I have a holdout blaster.
Okay. You wrench it out of his hand. That's your action. You have a maneuver. What do you want to do?
Yeah, okay. So I'll do a guarded stance.
Okay, so you're crouching behind him, so it's going to be harder for them to hit because you've got a guy right in front of you. The leader goes first, and he fires. He is firing as he's walking back, like kind of moving back at a pace to duck around the corner so he has cover. Takes the shot, and he actually hits you. 7 damage.
Wow.
Hits you in the shoulder. Just, it was a great shot. Like, you're like, how did he hit me? And he did. He had 2 black dice against him. And he shoots, he's running back, and he ducks around the corner at the entrance down the archway, and he's got cover now.
Yeah.
The other guy that is the guy you're holding gets to go next, and he's going to try to break out of your grasp. Nope, he can't get out. You've got him pinned right against your, like, right tight against yours. You've got your arm right around his throat. He cannot move. The other guy is going to try to fire. He runs to cover at that stone dais. Mm. He on the other side, and he's going to pop out and take a shot at you. 8 damage with his blaster pistol.
What?
He just pops in behind that count, that cover, and he shoots you and hits you in the other shoulder. Back to you.
Really shitty. Okay. All right. Well, at least I'm holding that other guy from my past fighting experience. I'm stronger than...
And you've got expected. A pistol now.
I am going to shoot at... Okay, who's not under cover right now?
They both are, but that guy by the dais is the closest to you.
Okay.
You can see that Afrak is around the corner.
Yeah.
He's peeking, like he's going to be like, you know, popping out and firing. The guy at the dais is probably the easiest to hit, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to maneuver this guy.
Yeah, can I move with him and shoot?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I'm going to make... Walking fire, maybe? Attack?
No, I'm going to make... Because you'd normally be able to just aim and get a blue dice,
yeah.
But you're moving with this guy. You're not moving freely, so you're going to have to make a brawn check.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, triumph. One advantage, success. Okay, so I rolled 3 disadvantages. 2 disadvantages, but I have a success and a triumph.
Okay, so you have 2 successes then, because that's a triumph. What does your triumph do for you? Triumph is an amazing thing that happens. You pull him along, and much more effectively than you thought possible,
mm-hmm.
you are dragging him. His feet, you can hear his heels dragging along the marble floor, his boots. And you pull him right back to the dais, and you are now behind it.
I'm going to try to successfully holster my blaster. Where is my lightsaber, by the way?
You threw it over here.
It's way over there.
It's like here.
So I'm going to grab my vibro knife, and I'm going to attack him with it. The guy to my right.
Okay.
1 success.
Just pull out your dagger and jab it in his side, and you can hear the cracking of bone as it punctures into his skin, and the sick, wet sound as it pops back out again, and he just winces. And the vibro dagger is a thing that it vibrates at a super high frequency, so it just cuts through everything like butter, but it also just like kind of rattled his ribs a little bit, and you can hear him cracking. It's pretty effective, and he winces as he exhales deeply. But it's back to their action. He's like, you're pretty much engaged with that guy right now because you just stabbed him.
Yeah.
But you've got a guy in front of you as well. Afrak still goes first. So he is going to fire on you, but he's taking a lot of penalties because you're behind cover and you've also got a guy in front. He leans out. He takes a shot and it hits the stone dais right in front of you. You kind of shield yourself and bits of rock, this dark obsidian rock, shatter and scatter all over the place. And it hits the guy that you're holding. And he's like, ah! But Afrak just shouts out. He's like, you could do it. Take her down. And they both get a bonus dice on their next actions. So this guy's going to try to break free from you again.
Okay.
He cannot get out. And the other guy steps back from the dais.
Okay.
And he starts to circle around you. You're trying to turn the guy as fast as you can.
Yeah.
But he does. He flanks you.
Okay.
So he removes that black dice. And he also gets a blue dice. Actually, this guy would have got one too, but it didn't matter. And he is going to fire in you. So you have no... You have no cover at all from this guy. He's shooting you in the back. So he runs around. He fires in your back. You take 8.
Oh, I'm down.
Feel a shot go into your back and you pass out. After a time, you wake up again. You're laying on the marble, cold marble floor. And your vision is hazy and you're slowly pulling yourself up. You've had you can't feel like you've been tended to medically. It feels like your shoulder blades have been separated, like it's cracked or broken. You can hardly move your left arm. Like the shoulder's been dislocated and maybe the collarbone's been cracked. You're in a bad way. And your vision starts to come too, and you see Koderic is standing at the entrance and he's leaning against it, looking out into the sand. And he's just standing there. His back is to you as you slowly become conscious again. You're laying exactly where you fell.
What happened? The raiders are gone?
So he's a good 50 feet away from you. And you call out to him, your voice weak.
Yeah.
He doesn't respond to you. He doesn't even turn.
Koderic, are you unharmed? Are you okay?
And his back remains to you. The red light is still glowing in this room. And he's leaned, he's got his arm. You can see his arms are crossed in front of him, but he's leaning against the edge of the entrance.
I did my best to fight them off. One got the better of me. I'm sorry.
He still doesn't respond to you.
So I try to get up.
So you pull yourself to your feet. You've got one wound left. And you pull yourself to your feet. You stagger. Oh, you are in a lot of pain. Like, you can feel grinding bone in there somewhere. You've definitely got broken bones. When you breathe, you can only get about a half a breath in before you start coughing. Like, there's sand or something just stuck in your lungs, and it burns. You're at inches from death, and you can feel it. You're in a bad way. You need medical attention. He doesn't respond to you as you stand to your feet. The only thing that you see that stands out at all, besides Coderic in this empty room with a stone dais, you see your lightsaber is still lying exactly where it was before.
Out of instinct, I go to it and grab it.
The next time you fall, that weapon better be in your fucking hand. And he slowly turns his head. Try again. And he turns around and starts walking towards you, the glow of the red lightsaber almost getting lost in this red luminescence of this domed room. And he's walking slowly towards you. He's wearing an expression you've never seen before. He looks like he's gonna kill you. Try again. Raise your weapon.
Just instinct, I activate my lightsaber.
He takes a guarded stance as he starts to approach you, almost like a panther would its prey. And he starts to do a slow circle around you. He's just holding it like he's waiting for you to strike.
I fear mortally wounded. I need some help.
You will receive no help. And when you pause, he's like, I will strike you down, and he attacks you. So he's got his lightsaber down at his side, and he charges in. He brings it straight up in the air, and he goes to stab it straight, like you think he's going to come and put it right between your eyes. And when he gets about halfway and you bring up your lightsaber to block it, he drops low and slashes you at the gut and burns you straight open, and you pass out into blackness again.
Okidessa has no friends.
You wake up. Again. You feel like you've been cut open at the belly. And you can smell still this burning, lingering smell. Coderic is standing at the entrance again, his back to you. And your lightsaber is just out of reach, out of your hand. You have a really bad wound on your stomach. You haven't been tended to. You're barely conscious at this point. You don't know how long you've been laying there. You can see it's dark outside now. You've probably been out all day.
I don't understand why he's attacking me. And I don't have much hope. The only thing I know what to do is try to reach him in another way, because my words aren't reaching him. So I'm going to try to guess his emotional state. Too late.
You're in too much pain. You can't even focus. You can't even fathom getting to that space where you can push the world away. You're in too much excruciating pain right now. His head turns a half measure. You can see he's still clutching his lightsaber in his hand. He turns. I'm ashamed.
I know I failed you. I'm sorry. What can I do?
It might be too late. You've embarrassed me. I don't know if there's any hope for you. I don't know. I put too much faith in you. Thought perhaps you could be trained, but you're weak. Look at you lying like a pile of garbage on the ground. What happened? Where did the strength go? All that rage. You can't even fight off three scum that float in from the desert.
Where were you? Where were you? You weren't here. There were three of them and they're one of me. I was taken off guard. I got the best of them, but one flanked me. That could happen to anybody. And I called down to you and you weren't there.
He keeps walking towards you, and as you start talking, he reaches out his hand and you start to choke. Can feel the wind being cut off. Okay. Continues to walk. Silence your insolent mouth. This is your training and you are failing. I have a mind to cast you out into that desert. You can die out there for all I care. And he lets go of the chokehold. This is what I've brought you here for. This is what he brought us here for. And you're throwing it all away by being a child and talking about fair. Show me you are meant to be here. Prove it, child.
I'll try my weapon again.
Yeah, you snatch it up off the ground. How is Okadessa feeling? Tell me about it.
She's a survivor, and she's been through a lot of things, so she's not about to give up. Instinct kicks in, and every last... She's been in the fighting rings, close to being unconscious, and being able to pull it back, and just taking the last little bit, and trying to use it. So she is trying to muster the last bit of strength she has, just out of an instinct survival mode. Okay,
so she's in a survival mode. But what does she feel about what's going on right now?
Okadessa would be hard on herself for... She would agree with him. She'd be hard on herself for people getting the best of her.
Okay.
And she could have done better in that battle. So she understands why somebody would be mad at her.
Okay.
So she actually isn't that upset about that. But she's also... mad about everything.
You're angry?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you've said that, he starts, he's like, good. Remember how it benefited you before. Strike me down. I dare you to try. And he's got his lightsaber aside and you grab it from the ground.
I muster everything I have because it's my only chance of getting out of there.
All right.
If you insist. I bring the lightsaber around, sweeping arc, and then grab it two-handed and just try to plunge it at him.
With one hand, hits it away to the left, with that's the side you come at with a strike, and you spin it back around over top of your head. With just a simple flick up, he blocks it. He blocks it to the side. Koderic lunges, and you manage to bring your lightsaber down. Pushes it and you can feel the burn as it goes right beside you, but you push it out in the downward strike. And he comes in and grabs you by the throat and squeezes really hard. And you see a smile slowly crack on his face. And he shoves you back. You stumble back a few feet. That is the Okadessa that I know. He holds out both of his hands and leaving himself open, but he's got his lightsaber still out.
I'm going to try your sense again.
You feel like your life is on the line.
I don't understand why you've turned on me. Why you took me all this way just to try and kill me.
I am not trying to kill you. I am trying to show you how to survive. Stop being a child.
I know how to survive.
He's got his arms to his side. He brings his lightsaber up in a downward stroke to hit it to the side. And you're too fast. You hit the saber and he gets it just in the nick of time, but it still goes straight, rakes along the side of his saber and cuts into the side of his flesh. Winces and pushes the saber away and he clutches at the side, goes down to a knee. I need to know that you really are going to push to survive. And he slowly stands up, clutching his side. You failed in your first test. The three that came to this place. I called them here with a distress signal. And he winces and he starts walking over towards the staircase. He disappears down. He's gone for a minute. He comes back up and throws something at you. And it's a med kit.
Okay.
Do what you must. Because your next test is about to begin. And he walks down the stairs.
Great. So I try to administer self-help.
Okay. All right, so this is a fairly advanced looking device. You've never seen anything like it before. It looks like a regular needle. But it has these weird little tubes on the side of the main... It would be like Bacta. Mm-hmm. But it has these two weird cylinders on the side that obviously also inject into the Bacta. And it's like a weird mucousy black liquid inside of it. Mm. You have no clue what it is. Do you use it on yourself?
Yeah.
You heal 12 points.
Okay.
So you inject it... Where do you inject it?
Into my intestines, which have been...
So in your stomach?
Yeah.
So you hit it, And you inject it, and it hurts really, really bad. You take two strain from just trauma of the wound, okay. Of the pain that is inflicted into you.
I've been having a good time.
The Bacta goes in, and that it's like a really clear blue liquid, mm-hmm. and that goes in, and it feels like nice and cooling. There's like some anesthetic mm-hmm. stuff in there, which is like you've used Bacta before. You know that that's normal. You're like, oh yeah, this feels. And then the black ink shoots into the Bacta from the two side things and shoots straight into you, and you can, it feels like fingers are going into your veins and like widening the veins and like pushing into them, but it goes all through your body like a fire, and you feel like you're almost gonna vomit, and you do kind of black out for a second. You hit the ground and you come to, you don't even know how long, maybe it's been a few minutes, and you sit up. It's healed over. There is a wicked scar that's been left there by Koderic's attack. That's never going away, but you are healed.
Okay. My back with the blaster?
That's healed up as well. It's, you're stiff, that's what the strain is, but your wounds are healed completely.
Okay.
Whatever that was cool. The most advanced medicine you've ever seen.
Nice. Okay.
You pull yourself up to your feet, feeling way better. You hear voices coming from the stairwell where Koderic has come and gone, and he's nowhere to be seen. You're standing at that stone dais, and you hear the voices, and you listen, you duck down a little bit, and you listen down that stairwell, and you hear someone like, I don't know. I have no idea where we are. I've been walking around for an hour. I don't really care where we are. We found our stuff. Let's just get out of here. And at that point, you can see Afrek comes up out of that stairwell looking like he's lost. And he looks like he's got like a black eye. They have all their gear. They've got their weapons.
That's what he meant by do it again.
And they stumble out, and then he sees you standing at the dais. Are you kidding me? Again? Just kill her this time, please, and let's go home. Get out of this infernal maze.
So, I'm just like, fuck. And just charge towards him.
Okay, so he's at the top of the stairs. Other two guys are behind him.
Okay.
And it's a narrow staircase, so you're boxing them in.
Yeah.
You just charge forward, and he's like, whoa! And he goes to draw his pistol and fire.
I am doing the sweeping motion.
So it's just a side strike?
A side strike,
all right, yeah. So you charge forward with it over your shoulder, and then as you get close, one sweep. And it cuts him straight across the chest. Burns, like, the saber goes in a good 3 inches and goes all the way down across, and he just slumps to his knees and is holding his chest because you've opened him up in the front, and he's screaming in horrific pain. He falls forward. He's not dead, but he's laying there screaming on his side, and the guy behind him looks terrified, and he takes a shot at you. He hits you. 7 damage. He hits you actually right in your thigh. His aim is off. He just pulls his blaster and fires as quickly as he can. Hits you in the leg. And you feel it, but you also don't. You kind of hit this zone. You're just pulled into the moment. It's back to your action. And this guy is at the... He's just kind of the first step down.
Okay.
And it's wide enough for you to, like, kind of strike, like, lunge, like, thrust.
I'm going
to lunge. Or straight down.
No, I'm going to lunge, battle cry and lunge.
Okay.
Like, fuck you.
Just straight forward. So you cut the guy in a sweeping motion in front. You take a shot in the leg, and then you lunge straight forward, aiming down the stairs. And you pierce him right through the center, burn a hole right down the back. You feel like if it would have been a little bit more to the left, you would have gone right through his spine and like paralyzed him instantly, but you just miss it.
Yeah.
Pull it back out, and he falls, tumbles down a little bit. He's still standing, like he just staggers back and he's clutching his stomach. Mm-hmm. And the guy behind him pushes him down and fires on you with advantage. So he actually hits you. You're all of a sudden you're falling out of the zone a little bit. So the other guy that you almost cut in half, he's literally dragging himself along the floor trying to get to the exit. He's not even bothering wasting his time with you. His whole action is to get on his knees and crawl as best he can. He gets halfway between where you are towards the front entrance, so he's like in the middle point. The other guy sticks, you can feel a blaster jam into your back,
oh,
and
no.
He fires. Actually, no. He's on the ground in front of you, and then there's another guy standing. Okay. The other guy's kneeling down. So he fires on you point blank. He fires, and like he just pulls up the guy you just impaled through the belly.
Yeah.
And fires, and you feel the hot burn of the blaster bolt go right over your ear, but it doesn't hit.
Okay, so I'm going to grab my vibro knife with my other hand. Okay. So I'm two-handed right now.
You stab forward the guy in front of you. You just straight down into his shoulder. The knife goes straight down into it, and you hear a crack as you shatter his collarbone from the attack. And he slumps down, and he falls forward on the stairs. And he's breathing heavily, and he's not dead or even unconscious, but he's just laying on the stairs. And you stab him and quickly back your way up and slam your back against the wall. This guy grabs his friend and starts dragging him down the stairs, down into the darkness where Koderic has disappeared before.
Yeah.
That's where they came from.
Yeah.
And he pulls him down the stairs, pulls him to safety, out of your way. He is basically just leaning around. He's got his blaster pistol out. If you come around that corner, he's going to fire. But that's his action. The other guy is still crawling. He's about a quarter of the way to the, or three quarters of the way to the front entrance now.
I'm going to finish off the guy that's crawling. Okay, I just don't want that guy firing on me.
Good. He's got his blaster. You can see him. It's in his hand, but he's just crawling desperately away.
He's easier to take out, so I'm just going to go and finish him off.
He sees you coming, and he turns on his back, and he's like, please! And he throws his blaster pistol away. Please, no, I surrender, please! Please don't kill me!
I decapitate him.
You turn, and you see that guy that carried his associate to safety is standing at the top of the stairs when you do that. He surrendered, you monster! And he says, if I have no chance of surrendering, then I'm not going down without a fight. And he is going to shoot you.
He wouldn't award the same to others.
He just... as you try to talk.
Just like, blah,
talk
blah,
shit.
Blah.
And it just goes over your shoulder and goes out into the desert.
I am going to... How far away is he?
He's at the stairs still. He fired at the top of the stairs. So you just turn around, run at him, and attack again.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I straight overhead try to bring down a shoulder.
Do you want to make it super cool where you leap off of the stone dais?
Yeah.
Okay, so make a coordination check.
I'm like, yes, yes, super cool.
If you do that, I'll add a blue dice. You do it, you muster whatever energy you have left, and you run and leap up and jump straight in the air and bring your lightsaber down. You hit him, twist your ankle, and you roll on the ground, and you slide and stop. You manage to get yourself upright and slide at the edge of the stairs, and you still got your lightsaber, and it's humming. And he's pretty badly hurt. He's not down. But yeah, you slashed his arm all the way down to the bone from the shoulder to the elbow, and you just like flayed that skin off of him. And he drops, he lowers that hand, he can't even pull up that arm anymore, and he grabs the pistol, so he's left hand shooting now. He hits you. Seven. One left.
1 point left.
So you're attacking with the lightsaber, and which is your...
I have my vibro knife drawn already, right?
You come up with both, and you have them at the side, and you slash, and you're going to go with your melee dagger, but when you slash in I guess using your probably lightsaber with your right hand, you slash straight ahead, bringing the lightsaber into downward stroke, and hit him right by the left side of the neck, and it goes, you hear a crunch in the bone as it goes all the way down to his sternum, and you can just hear a crisping burning, and his eyes go wide, and he hits the ground, hits his knees, cracking them on the marble, and he falls backwards as the blade just burns the entire way until he hits the ground, and the lightsaber comes out of him, and he's done. And you can hear gasping down at the bottom of the stairs because that guy's still alive down there.
Okay. So I go down there.
Yeah.
And I grab him by the collar.
Yeah.
I drag him up.
Okay, you drag him to the stairs. He's like, please, please. And he's grabbing at your wrist, like, with whatever strength he has left, and he's like, mercy! Mercy, please!
I don't say anything. I just keep dragging him.
Yeah. And you drag him past the body of his...
I drag him past all the bodies.
Yeah.
And I just keep dragging him and dragging him. And I, like, roughly, and his head's hitting all the stones.
Yeah.
And then I lay him over a speeder.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, spread the word. I spared you, but I will spare no more. Anyone that dares to come against us will meet the end of my sword. I set the speeder's dial to head him towards the nearest town.
So you would, I guess, technically make an astrogation check on this speeder.
Okay, so yeah, 3 successes and 1 advantage.
All right, so you punch in the coordinates. You just do a quick check on your phone to see what is the nearest town. And you punch it in. It's this small refueling station for like caravans that go across across the surface of the planet. Mm-hmm. And there are, even though it's a rare thing, that there are like actual Earth-bound vessels that still transport, because most of it's in the sky. There are still some that do it to avoid pirates that roam the skies. It's a small refueling station. It's not even a town, and you send him there.
Oh, before he goes, one last thing. I say to him, you can tell them they can join us, and we will be powerful. And I send him off.
All right, so off he goes. As the speeder goes away, you see Coderic walk up beside you, and he's punching something on his phone. And you look down at his screen, and you can see that he's activating his computer of that speeder, and it just goes, comes to a stop. Do you remember when I told you that we are one of very few, if not the last, of our kind?
Yes.
There's a reason. We were hunted and killed by the Empire. If anyone finds out what we're doing or who we are, we will have the ISB after us, which is the last thing we could ever want. This is a secret that no one must ever find out, ever.
I'm sorry. I just know how legends are born and things are spread on this planet, how people are feared and power is gained through stories told through towns. I thought if I told these...
He holds up his hand. Silence. This is only to be known by you and me. Not these whelps. Not your friends. You are not who you used to be, and no one will know who you are. Do you understand?
I nod slowly. Yes, I understand.
He starts to turn, and he turns back around, and he smacks you so hard along the side of the head. Know your place, whelp. And he starts to walk away, back inside into the temple. And he goes down towards the dais. He passes it, and he turns back to you. Finish what you started. And he disappears down the stairs. And you can hear him say, I will meet you down here when you've finished your first step in training.
So I guess I march off towards the speeder.
Okay. And you see the guy, he's still like, the sun's hazy, and he stopped. He's like, miss, and he looks up at you. The speeder stopped. I didn't stop it. I want you to know. I will tell them. I'll tell them whatever you want. Please, just let me go back to my family. Please.
You will see them soon. Don't worry.
He dies instantly when you execute him. What do you do now?
Head back to the temple.
You head back in, and you can see the headless body of the guy that you killed. It's still there. And the other guy that you also killed. You step over his body and go to the stairs. Do you go down?
I'm hesitant. Coderic doesn't seem much better than the slavers in the town. So Ferrick and I were trapped in for so long. I'm confused about what's happened. But the only answers lie right here and right now. So I head on down.
So you walk down the stairs. There is, to your left, a door. This is an ancient building. This is probably 1,000 years old. Like, it is ancient. You've never seen something like this before. I mean, you haven't really seen much of the universe, but this to you feels older than anything you've ever seen. It feels like the layers of City 17, as if it was built one on top of the other, but this is something that goes beyond that. It's metallic, and it has weird words that you've never seen before, like some kind of strange language over top of the doors, or over top of this door in particular. And there's a hall that goes straight ahead of you, and it is now lit with that weird red light as well, so it's not dark down here anymore. To your right is another doorway as well with the same weird markings above it. Where do you go?
Straight ahead.
So you continue on, and it ends in a door as well. Okay. And you saw it from where you were standing. It just ends in a door.
Okay.
It goes about 30 feet down. And this one has the same style of writing, but you can see different variations. You're not quite sure what they mean by any stretch of the imagination. You don't see any noticeable way to open this door. And when you go back and take a look at the other ones, you see the same thing. There's no pad. There's no, like, handle. It's just a metallic frame for all you can see.
I'm going to try to use my force power seek. Locate okay. someone. See where Corderic is.
Yeah.
I'm always using the light side. Okay.
So you close your eyes and try to find... You do start to channel the force, and it feels different now. Like, it feels... Like, what you're able to focus on right now is you're remembering your friends, and you're remembering Muzzo, you're remembering Doc, and Talia, and Quelbin. And when you... It feels good to remember them. They feel so far away right now.
Yeah.
But it also just all of a sudden brings you out of that mental state of concentration and pushing all those emotions away. You're suddenly overwhelmed with positive emotion, and you can't step outside yourself. You're wrapped up in these thoughts of your friends. You're just instantly reminded that not only are you across the galaxy, but you miss them. And the feeling goes like you can't concentrate.
I turn around and I go back out through the main part, and I hop on a speeder and I leave.
You remember the general direction that you came from. It wasn't, you know, it was a pretty far journey. It took you almost a whole day to get out here. So you travel for hours and hours. What are you thinking about as you travel that time?
Everything. I feel that everyone's lied to me, and that the only person I can rely on right now is myself. Disappointed in myself that I put all my vested interests in one person that I think is now taking advantage of me again. But I also know there's a power that I have.
Okay.
But I'm also scared of it. I think it's very dangerous. I've seen something very dark, and I don't like it. I also kind of what it brought out of me, I don't like. What I told that raider about wanting power actually scared me. And I'm now taking chalk of my life and what I don't want. I don't want to be in servitude.
You're lost and drowning in your thoughts. You realize as you snap out of it, you know how when you're in a creative space or when you're lost in thought when you're driving, you don't really recognize how far you've driven sometimes. You're just like, oh, when did I get to this street? Or how long have I actually been driving for? It went so quick. That's where you're at. But in a whole, like a level, a spiritual level you didn't even know existed. And you come out of it and you stopped. You're in the middle of the desert and you've come to a stop and you didn't even realize you did it. You didn't even realize that you were not driving back to Joragando. You've stopped in the middle of the desert, and when you take a look around, you realize you've stopped where Zofrek is, where you buried him. And you just were pulled here for some reason. And it's quiet. There's nothing around for miles. It's just you and the dunes, and you can see the stones that you piled up where Zofrek was buried as a marker, and you've found your way again.
I get off the swoop, and I go and stand by the marker.
Okay.
I put my hand on it. Brother, I'm lost, but I found myself here. I need guidance. I'm alone in this now that you're gone.
Make a... Let me vigilance check.
Oh, black, of course. Okay, so I have... Three advantages and one block.
You channel this energy that comes so easily to you now, this anger and this rage, and you just you're at a complete loss, and it washes over you, and that feeling that you're like, just I need some kind of guidance. You're reminded that everything's been taken from you, and the one thing that you maybe could have saved out of all this was your brother. and he's dead, and that it just turns to rage. You can't help it. You are getting pulled deeper and deeper into this dark place, and you don't know if you're going to be able to survive it, if you're going to be able to come out the other end. There's no way back from this now.
Try to push the feelings away and just look at the moon lights and sit there and try to push everything away.
So you spend a couple hours there next to his grave and missing him and missing your friends. We haven't seen in ages. Yeah. We don't know what they're doing anymore. The night passes and it's quiet and you find a sense of peace. And what are you, how long are you staying here? And what are you doing while you're looking at the moon? What is she thinking about? What is Okadesa doing and feeling? What is she trying to do right now? Like, what is she doing with
that anger and the grief? It's trying not to get me into despair.
Okay.
Trying to just say, you know, trying to empty her mind.
Okay.
And just look at the moon. And
so you're just meditating?
Feel, yeah, just meditating.
Roll a force dice.
Oh, it's black when I die.
It's overpowering.
Yeah.
You try to escape it. You try to escape that feeling of darkness, but you are haunted by that guy pleading with you to spare him and you killing him. You're haunted by the murder. Even though that guy that you killed had killed Zofrek, you're haunted by the fact that you cut him down and you didn't bring him before the authorities. These were things that you used to believe in, that you just threw away ever since you found out you had this power and you've done nothing good with it. By the time the sun rises in the morning, you feel like you've chosen your place. It's almost solidified with you that you have no path to walk now but the one that has already been, that you're already on. You snap out of your reverie and your desperation and just feeling lost. And you look and you see in the hazy distance, at moving at a pretty good speed, reflection of metal. And with the triumph, you see as it comes out of that hazy desert fog, it's a swoop.
Okay.
And you know it's Koderic, and he's coming towards you.
I will hear him out.
All right.
He used to be a very reasonable man.
So you stand and you wait for him, and the swoop comes in and stops. And he slowly gets off. He had goggles on. He pulls them off, throws them on the ground, and he starts to walk toward you. Do you want to use any force powers right now?
Yeah, I want to feel
his emotions.
Yeah. Okay. Black.
You reach out. You're a bit intimidated because you don't know how he's feeling right now, so you just close your eyes and concentrate, and you go into that place, that awful place, where all the shit that you've been going through, and you channel it and reach out to him. You feel that he's calm, but there's this simmering heat that's in there somewhere that he's trying to keep buried that could be let out at any moment, but he's calm right now. And he stops a little distance from you. What are you doing?
I'm contemplating my future.
Your future has been laid before you. I told you we are here for a reason.
I make the choices in my future.
Look at where your choices have led you so far. You were lost until you found me, until we found each other. Who were you before our paths crossed? Some smuggler? What kind of fate or destiny is that? We are meant for great things. You're walking away from that.
Destiny has a funny way of turning and twisting on you. I worked my way out of slavery. I chose not to take the path. I also swore to myself and my brother that we would never be in servitude again. I don't feel like this is any form of freedom. I left because I need to make my own choices. I trusted in you, and you were a very agreeable man, and you could answer questions for me I could never answer. But now I'm even questioning your motives.
I came here to help you, and to find that it wasn't a coincidence. The fact that we met is not a coincidence. I'm training you. It's not going to ever be easy. I'm going to expect a lot out of you. I'm going to hurt you. It's only to make you stronger.
If there's anything I know about life so far, it's never easy. And I know it will always hurt.
So what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of being a prisoner. I'm afraid of being a slave.
You are not my slave. You are my apprentice. I am training you. Stop being a child. This is what becoming more means.
And then I get mad. Stop calling me a child.
What else do you call this act of defiance? When you learn a new skill, is it not difficult? Are you not punished for your lack of understanding, your mistakes?
Yes. I punish myself. I always want to achieve more, and I always can do better.
And stop being a coward and running from this. You're going to do things that might make you question yourself, of course. But you have to cut emotion from your heart lest it ruin you. That is the weakness. That is what my master has revealed to me in the time that you were unconscious.
Is he still alive?
No. There's many things you need to understand about him. There's much I can teach you.
Is this about Chalu?
It's nothing to do with Chalu. Chalu is... he is my father. He took me in when I had nothing left. And I will be grateful to him forever, but this is beyond money and material wealth and rebellions and empires. That's all inconsequential to what we have an opportunity. The last of our kind, and you're going to walk from that? Do not give in so easily. I warn you, it will be tough times ahead. This is only the beginning of your trials.
I have very few people I can trust in. So you must understand why I'm distrusting of these trials. Chalu keeps slaves. I somehow feel these trials are to break me to be one of his minions.
You will never be a slave to anyone. And if you have issues with Chalu, I will cut him down myself.
I do admit that I need to understand the power that I'm feeling, but I also will confide in you that I'm fearful of what it's brought out in me. And the things I told and the glee I felt with cutting down the raiders, that worries me. That's not who I used to be.
That's right. And that is what makes you strong.
Maybe I do need to move on away from my weaknesses. I need to be a stronger person. Maybe that is my fault. Why I can't get ahead in this world. I need to become more powerful, stronger, understand the powers that I have, and use them.
So he starts to turn back, and he picks up his goggles, and he puts them back on. He hops into the speeder, not the swoop that he came in. He hops into the speeder, into the passenger side. And he looks to the driver's side. Then make a choice.
I think my answers lie here in the desert. And I hop on.